Today's reflection, entitled Hope, has kindly been provided for us by the Reverend Helena Rolston. It may be helpful to know that a TED Talk is a modern form of short motivational speech, given by a gifted speaker to inspire a team or committee to higher achievement. TED stands for Technology, Entertainment, and Design. A climate change activist, colleague and friend of mine once said that the problem he had with Christianity is hope. He went on to explain that hope allows Christians a get-out clause from being active, to support the movement towards creating a healthier world. Hope that everything would one day be okay, that God would reign, and there would be a new heaven and a new earth. So why worry about this one? Interestingly, a few months later that same person sent me a link to a TED Talk that explained why hope was necessary in the climate change movement. Without hope, the woman explained, we have no motivating drive at all. She continued to say that there were two forms of hope. Passive hope, the hope my friend assumed to be found in Christianity, the hope one has which allows one to do nothing, thinking that all will be well in the end. Then there is active hope, the hope that motivates us to act, in the belief that the action will lead to a good outcome. The hope that as small and insignificant as we appear to be, we can make a difference. You may be wondering what all this talk of hope has to do with our readings today. The psalm for today, Psalm 111, has the title in my Bible, Praise God for His Wonderful Works. The praise is in the introduction, but the rest of the psalm continues to explain why we might be praising God at all, a little bit like an answer to the question, why should we hope? In the current situation, it can feel like our hope is really being tried and tested. I recall a Facebook post from a friend back in April asking people to stay indoors. I've got plans for June. She hoped that by then we would be coming to the end of restrictions and able to enjoy a normal summer. Well, we did have quite a good summer weather-wise, but in other ways it was far from normal. As the autumn came, our hopes were again unfulfilled, but then with schools opening and with the introduction of graded tiers of restrictions, we began to hope that we had the pandemic under control. But we didn't. Then next, our hope for a better summer this year was renewed with the great news of the rolling out of the vaccine, yet even now that hope is being tried and tested once again, as we find ourselves in another extended lockdown. It is understandable that our sense of hope may be feeling rather weak just now. We may find ourselves asking the question when this will end. When will we be able to hug our loved ones and sing in church once again? But it is this wavering hope that the psalmist addresses. Our hope is not an empty one. It is not a hope founded upon dreams, and it is certainly not a passive hope. Our hope is founded upon the promises made by our God, and on the wonders that God has already done in our lives, and in the lives of countless people before us. Great are the works of the Lord, the psalmist writes. He sent his redemption to his people. He has commanded his covenant forever. I invite you to read through the psalm again. Let the words of promise and hope sink in, deep within. Hope is not a nice-to-have feeling or an emotion. We need hope to survive. We cannot do without hope. I would suggest that hope, true hope, the hope that comes from psalms like this one, can never be passive, it keeps us alive. During this past week, the nation has marked Holocaust Memorial Day. The theme for this year was Be the Light in the Darkness. Stories were told of countless men and women who risked everything, even their very lives, to be a light for others, to be the light in the extreme darkness of genocide. There were stories from Holocaust survivors, and from survivors of more recent genocides, who would certainly have perished without the hope that one day they would be free. Hope literally kept them alive. Hope cannot be diminished. Before Christmas, at Hallam we held an event we called the Celebration of Hope. Participants were invited to share with each other what hope meant to them. The stories that emerged were so moving, beyond all I could have imagined, that my faith in hope was consequently reignited. As Christians, we have a calling and a duty to hope, and to be active in bringing our hopes into reality, not just for ourselves, but for our world. In the letter to the Corinthians, Paul uses the example of food to illustrate his message. A message about the weak and the strong. The strong, Paul says, should adapt what they say and do in the presence of the weak, so that the weak may feel encouraged in their faith. This message left me wondering, would I be in the strong or the weak category? Well, when it comes to hope, I certainly fall into both. There will be times when we feel strong in our conviction of hope. These are the times when we need to hope for others, because we don't know when we might need others to hope for us. For when all is said and done, at the close of the day when the press conferences fall silent, when the children are all in bed and the stars are in the sky, Paul reminds us in those words so often used at weddings, and now faith, hope, and love abide. For faith, hope, and love cannot be overcome, they can never die, and will be the gifts from God that lighten each new day. May you bring hope to the world this day, and always. Amen. The text of today's anthem comes from the 28th chapter of the book of Job. Oh, where shall wisdom be found? By William Boyce.